Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast with NBA shooting coach Dave Love and your host, Matt Robertson. Exploring the cutting edge of evidence-based shooting development in basketball today. From shooting form to skill acquisition to shot metrics. This is the Coach Dave Love Podcast.
Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Robertson, and I'm here with Coach Dave Love. Dave, where are you and what is the weather like? It's the thing I want to know.
These are the important questions. I'm in Dallas, Texas right now, and I haven't been, it's 3:45 in the afternoon. I haven't been outside yet since 7 a.m. I believe it was supposed to be sunny and around 15 degrees Celsius or 60 degrees Fahrenheit ish. So if basketball doesn't work out, then I'm making the pitch to become a meteorologist.
Listen, sub me in. I want to be your flag guy with the green screen. This is going to be great. Great to see you, buddy. How's everything going for you?
I can't complain. How are things with you?
You know, sleep at a premium. Otherwise, A1. Bodies, you know, I'm feeling old today.
Yeah. Get used to that feeling, because that happens more and more and more as you get older and older and older. You mentioned before we started recording a couple of experiences over the last week or two that you wanted to talk about. Can you share?
Yes. You had a really good segue there, feeling old and being in the locker room with the college guys, and a song will come on and I'm like, I know I should know who the artist of this song is, and I don't, and I have to ask. And they're like, you're so old. And I'm like, I'm 35, but I'm an old man. So at one of these college games, was literally 20 minutes after that happened, we were playing at the university about 45 minutes away, and two coaches were in the hallway, and they said, Maddie, great to see you. Love the pod. And I was like, oh, it's the first in the wild shout out. Shout out Coach Sharp, Coach Tingley, or Tingman, as it were. They're big fans. And then we played 3 days later, 4 days later, against University from an hour and a half away. And their head coach, Coach Vaughn, gave us a little love. Also loved the pod. I was like, man, I haven't done any real promotion on my end outside of my friend group. So you have infiltrated my circle of people. This is great, Coach Dave. So big ups to
that. So fun, because I haven't necessarily had the quote unquote in the wild experience. I've got text messages from friends saying, hey, podcast is great, we like it, and or messages on Twitter, but not like the person that you just run into like you experienced there. That I'm looking forward to that one still. So good job by you.
Oh yeah, really good. Thanks. Just being out there and about in the back hallways of my college. Really, really good. Buddy, I'm really excited for today's episode. Really get to showcase kind of your creativity in how you've sort of designed some things for your players. And I want to kind of dive right into that. So Coach Dave, yep, Let's talk about the purpose today in designing drills. How do you start that?
Well, I think the key to all of this is understanding what habit are we going to be working on? And that's kind of one of the first things we talked about, I think, in the first episode, is like defining the purpose. And for me, it's always trying to go back to what habit is this particular player trying to work on, and be consistent with that. So that would be the first place that I would start. And I want to try and design drills and design workouts that help players apply that habit into a game situation as they get better at the habit.
So really, you're talking about not doing shooting close to the hoop slowly and custom designing something that is more applicable to what this player is going to be doing.
Yeah. There's a lot of skill acquisition ideas that kind of go into this, from a constraint-led approach to challenge point, task representativeness, like all these sort of these ideas go in to how we design an environment to get a player to, number one, change a movement pattern or change their shooting form, and then secondarily, most importantly, be able to transfer that into a game setting down the road.
So are there a couple general areas of focus that you kind of see when you're looking at players for the first time, or maybe it's the fifth workout and you're looking to insert some variability? Like, what are the couple areas of focus that you usually work on with these drills?
In designing the drill?
Yeah.
Well, there's a sort of a three-step process that I try and focus on. And step number one would be what we're talking about right now, like identify what habit you want to be working on. Step two would be isolate that habit as much as necessary so that you can actually change the movement pattern. And we'll dive deeper into what I mean by that. And then lastly would be layer the drills so that we're starting to apply that habit into a more challenging environment as the player gets better at the skill that you're working with or working on. So identify, isolate, layer is kind of the process that I start to follow.
That's the clip. That's the clip right there. Clipped it. So perfect. Succinct. I like
it. That'll be in the commercial that was just before the Super Bowl.
What's that?
That's the commercial that airs just before the Super Bowl.
I like it. This being the Super Bowl. All right. Are you a Chiefs fan, by the way? Do you have any stake in the game at all?
Not really. I do tend to cheer for greatness. Like there, a lot of people will cheer for the underdog. I don't really understand. Unless I have a personal connection to the underdog, I tend to cheer for the. I want to see the great person do something great. I want to see Tiger Woods win by 35 strokes. I want to see, Djokovic. I don't like Djokovic. Federer was my guy, and Agassi before that. I want to see those guys dominate, and so I do like what the Chiefs have going on, and Patrick Mahomes, and I want to see like how great can you be.
Two pieces. One, we were at a Mavericks game in November when we came to visit you and saw Pat Mahomes in the flesh, which was a cool thing. He was sitting courtside for the Thursday night game. Impressive human in stature. And secondly, rooting for greatness, the I think 13 cutaways to Taylor Swift really, you know, gets me going. A lot of greatness happening in the arena. I know you're a big Swiftie. So, all right. Really derailed things. Dave, let's talk about identifying the issues when we're looking at designing a drill.
All right. So the first thing that I try and focus on is making sure that we're paying attention to what I've referred to before as the connections. So the hand on the basketball and specifically at the set point is where I think a lot of mistakes get made in how we transfer energy to the ball. And the second point would be how the feet connect to the floor, the foot positioning. And so those will be not the only two, but by far the most common two areas that I'm going to focus on trying to identify where a player is out of position and what habit they might need to be working on. Then the next part of it is going to be just kind of paying attention to, like, there's a cause and effect to things. And I think the most common example that I've given is that we have to be aware that the follow through isn't really the problem. The follow through is the indicator that there is a problem. And so we're not necessarily coaching to the follow through. That is caused by being out of position at the set point. And just understand that cause and effect in the shooting motion, that don't get tricked into trying to correct the effect, correct the cause.
Really quickly, do you find that there are some clues there? So for example, I coached a kid about 10 years ago, high school player. When he followed through, his thumb was kind of like wrapped in. I called him a thumb hider. Like, is that a clue for you that he's, you know, like, give me a little 30-second blurb on that.
Yeah, on that particular thing, I'd say, okay, what direction is that thumb creating energy? Well, if he's right-handed, that thumb would be pushing to his right. And so then it's working your way backwards to say, if his hand feels like it has to create energy to the right at the end of the shooting motion, it's probably because there was energy being created to the left by some other part of the body earlier on, and the thumb is trying to compensate. And so I've got a version of that, like I call thumb down shooters. When they snap their wrist as a right-handed shooter, they snap their wrist to the right and their thumb ends up being below their hand. Or when they snap the opposite direction, I call those pinky down shooters, where their follow through is snapping to the left as a right-handed shooter. Those are usually you're out of position at the set point. And that's the indicator that's happened now. In what way were you out of position at the set point that caused your body to have to make that move to compensate?
Can you give me a look at the feet? So when you're talking about foot positioning, what are the clues for you that are in identifying a skill or a habit that needs to be worked on?
Great question. A lot of that, the effect will be the torso. If the torso is leaning or turned or turning as you're shooting, that can usually start with the feet, and you'll get a player who if they're right-handed points their right foot more at the target but flares the left foot out, and now when they bend their legs they end up leaning towards that left side where the foot is flared out, because that knee is bending away from your body, and that creates a lean, it creates a turn, which in turn creates some negative energy away from the targets. And so a lot of people will think, well, it's a foot. We shoot the ball with our hands and we're releasing the ball 8 feet in the air. How my feet are touching the ground doesn't matter. Well, no, it's a chain of command, or a chain of cause and effect. And the feet absolutely do affect what happens later on in the body.
So for the guy, so one of my assistant coaches that I've referenced in the podcast before, and I have an ongoing argument, when he shoots, he's a lefty, which is a whole other topic of conversation. So we'll get there. Yeah. But his feet are pointing at the corner. Like, obvious, that has to affect, again, this is an argument we have on the bus all the time, but that has to affect the outcome.
It can make it really, really challenging with lefties in particular, and this is why we're going to do a whole separate podcast on lefties down the road. I would give a little bit more grace or wiggle room to a lefty simply because they've grown up in a right-handed world, and they've grown up having to compensate their body in all sorts of different ways, from opening the fridge door to can openers to not smudging ink on paper, and their shoulder develops differently. And so that's not going to change quickly. And so I might need to kind of compensate or allow them to compensate in the short term for that muscular development in a way that I wouldn't necessarily ask the righty to compensate. So I'll let them have a little bit more of a turn, but absolutely, as a human being, we tend to jump in the direction that our feet are pointed. Mm-hmm. And so if your feet are pointed to the corner of the court on a free throw, now let's pretend you're jumping on the free, let's pretend the shot is a jumper that's occurring at the free throw line, just so we have markers that we know where they are. If your feet are pointed at the corner, chances are you're going to jump in the direction of the corner. And now your center of gravity is moving that direction. So we can, and we'll dive into this one in a later podcast as well, but I'm not so concerned anymore about what direction our feet pointed, but I am absolutely concerned about the direction of the energy, and the direction of your feet can affect the direction of the energy from your body, or it cannot. So you point your feet at the corner and you jump straight up and down, might not ever say a word about it. But if you're jumping significantly in that direction, then yeah, I will absolutely talk about it.
Yeah, tell me how you feel about sweep and sway. No, I'm just kidding. we'll cover that another time. Six parts of me wants to talk about opening the fridge door with my left hand, but that's, again, I don't want to get too far derailed. Okay, let's get back on track with identifying. Let's talk about guide hand.
Yeah, the guide hand again. A big thing that we want to fix, and it's a great indicator that there's a problem, but the guide hand usually isn't the problem. So we want to make sure that we identify, not that we're going to fix the guide hand, because that's the effect. Fix the cause, which is usually that the shooting hand isn't underneath the middle of the basketball. That's where we want to pay attention to that. So all these things, they just keep coming back to when you start this process, correctly identify the actual root of the problem that the player is facing, and don't get tricked by the effect of the problem. It's the cause we got to get down to.
And then once you've sort of found that habit and designed the drill, holding players accountable to doing the thing properly.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a player that I watched a workout from doing a workout with a young coach that I was kind of mentoring. And I asked the coach at the beginning of the workout before the player got there, you know, what are you guys working on? And he says, well, we're working on it. She has a habit of catching the ball and then hopping to set her feet after the catch. And she does it really quickly and it doesn't get called a travel, but I know it technically is, plus it's inefficient. And so we're working on getting her feet set before the catch. I said, okay, great, good idea. And definitely something that should be focused on. And then I'm watching the workout and on 98% of catches, she caught the ball and then set her feet and caught the ball and then hopped. So just kept doing the thing that they said they were. They identified a great little habit that need to be worked on, and they paid fantastic lip service to working on it. But the work that they were actually doing was reinforcing the very habit that they said they were trying to break.
It's one thing that when I'm working with players too, how much interjection is too much interjection? I vacillate from wanting to comment on every shot to being like, I need to shut my mouth and then go 10 shots where they did the habit wrong 8 of the 10 times. Like, how do you modulate that?
I think I said this on a previous podcast, but I think it's worth repeating. I don't coach mistakes. I coach habits. So if somebody has, as you say, like done exactly the same thing 8 times out of 10, then that's an indicator that's a habit. I need to jump in as a coach. I need to modify the environment in some way so that they can change their movement pattern in the way that I want them to change it. If they shoot 10 shots and they make the mistake once, well, that was a mistake. I don't need to say anything to that. And especially if they're aware of it. And so if they're aware of it, I'll just reinforce what they've said. And I don't necessarily have to say anything. It can just be, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. What do you want to change? How can we simplify? Do we need to simplify? Asking them guided questions. And so those would be the things that I would pay attention to.
Kind of comes back to empowering the player and then kind of moving on from there. It is the through line of all these pods is player empowerment, but don't want to derail. Okay. So the three that you're talking about, identify, isolate, and layer, we've covered identify pretty well. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about isolate.
Hey there, basketball fans. I'm NBA shooting coach Dave Love, and I've got exciting news just for you. Introducing my exclusive free basketball shooting newsletter. It's packed with insights and techniques straight from the hardwood. Have you ever wondered how NBA players improve their shots? Or how you could get to the next level, whether you're a college player, a coach, or a budding youth player? My newsletter brings all this and more directly to your inbox. Each edition is a deep dive into the world of basketball shooting. I'll share some of the tips and ideas that I use with my NBA clients, tailored for every level of the game. But wait, there's more. Subscribers receive exclusive monthly discounts on my online products. From training videos to personalized coaching sessions, you'll get it all for a fraction of the price. And the best part of all, it's absolutely free to join. So what are you waiting for? Elevate your game and join a community of passionate players and coaches from around the globe. Signing up is easy. Just visit CoachDaveLove.com.
All right, welcome back. Dave, Step two in creating your own drill. Let's talk about isolate.
Yeah, isolate is basically simplifying the environment, creating a kind of situation, a drill in which the player can actually change their movement pattern. That if we try and do something new in a really, really challenging environment, like just a game environment, then chances are their motor pattern is just going to sequence the way it always has. And it's just because they don't have enough time. They have there's too much stimulus going on. There's just, for any number of reasons, there's too much happening where they can't consciously change the movement pattern. And so I have seven different layers that will go into it at a later podcast, but I strip away as many of them as I need to, and I make the environment easy enough that that I know I can put the player in a position where they can actually deliberately change the movement pattern, and then give them the time to get comfortable with that new pattern, and then time to get good at that pattern. So isolating tends to look like what we picture when we say traditional form shooting. Now there's little adjustments that I'll make to that, trying to add variability to it. But if they say, you know, what do you mean by isolate? Well, it would be do form shooting. Make the environment easy enough that we can actually do things differently than how you've always done them.
So in isolating and sort of reducing it down to that kind of level, how do you find an ideal sweet spot? Are you nailing the habit 8 out of 10 times, 10 out of 10 times? Like, how do you find that sweet spot of what an ideal looks like?
I think within the challenge point framework, I read somewhere, and I've gone back to see if I can find this, find the research that I saw this in. The benchmarks they gave were trying to get the habit right 85% of the time. Okay. And ideally feeling like on that 15% that you made the mistake, that the player was aware they made the mistake. And so that's one of the benchmarks that I'm trying to hit. And the other one is like a results-based in a sense. I don't want the drill, when we're talking about shooting a basketball, I don't want the drill to be so easy that the player is making 95% of their shots. That's never going to be realistic to a game either, but I also don't want them to be making 20% of their shots. If 40 to 50% is the sweet spot that we're searching for in games, the realistic sweet spot, then I want to kind of be around that in my practice. And I do skew a little bit higher. I try and shoot for 50 to 60% so that I can have particularly somebody that's been a historically weak shooter seeing a good number of shots go in. But I don't want to skew so far to getting 90% in an unrealistic environment. It should be task representative. It should be game representative as much as we possibly can. So just trying to simplify as much as I need to get that. The other part that I'll really pay attention to is trying to put constraints on drills that force the habit that I want the player to be working on. So the perfect drill would be the kind of drill where I explain how to do it, and the way the drill is done forces a player to explore a new movement pattern without me explicitly having to tell them to explore it. Like, I don't want to say, I want you to put your finger here and I want you to do, like, we would like the drill to teach a player to do that without having to say So the most common constraint that I'll put on a drill is removing the guide hand at the set point. A lot of the big mistakes that happen in shooting are caused at the set point. By simply removing the guide hand at the set point when we're doing these isolating drills, will force a player to explore around that, around the kind of habits that I want them to be exploring and sort of moving into a new, more efficient movement pattern without me having to explicitly say, do it like this.
I told a story in a previous podcast of you putting me on the spot in front of like 80 kids and how uncomfortable I was in the isolation drill setting. Even though, again, at the time, considered myself a pretty good shooter, but it felt so uncomfortable and really exposed like a weakness that I had in how much I was leaning on the guide hand for support. It hurt my feelings just a little, Dave, to be honest. But I do really appreciate it. It is such an easy thing that can identify so much.
Well, and I like the fact that you use the word, I believe, exposed. Like that's the goal, is to sort of show you, oh, you aren't good at this yet, and that like that's kind of the reason that the theoretical you is being held back, is because you're used to a complicated movement. In your case, it sounds like a bit of a two-handed shot or a six-fingered shot. And the drill sort of forced you to then explore, how do I do this with five fingers? How do I do this with one hand instead of having this guide hand interference that, while uncomfortable with it, is more complicated than it needs to be?
I think I had a sort of a narrow shooting hand, which was causing some funneling issues, and then wasn't in Coach Dave parlance, did not necessarily have the middle of my hand shooting the middle of the ball, anyway, as we've exposed, as we've come, we've talked about ad nauseum over the last 10 episodes, it's one of the hits.
Yeah. It's got to get that shooting hand underneath the middle of the ball. And there's a few different ways that you can screw that up. But you want to become more efficient. That's kind of got to happen.
So fair. All right. So let's put a bow on isolate. You've kind of hit your most common.
Can I interrupt for a second? Before we put a bow on isolate, sorry, I don't mean to be rude. I just want to make sure that people understand, like, isolating doesn't mean you have to go back to stationary one hand form shooting. That is the direction that I'll be prepared to go. But isolating can mean just simplify the drill enough to make sure that the player's doing the thing right. So isolating could look fairly game-like, but it doesn't necessarily have to. We want to just simplify just enough to do these things right, but make it as task representative as we possibly can. And early on in the process, it might have to be fairly simple.
So what you're saying is the spectrum between on one end is game speed with a defender, and on the other end is shooting slow, close to the basket. You're trying to find the 85% mark where they can be successful 85% of the time, and the 15 are reasonable mistakes. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. If I can go back from one, if I have to backtrack from 100% game speed to 90% game speed, and they can get the habit right, then that's isolating the habit. If I have to go back to 10% of game speed to get the habit right, that's also isolating the habit. It doesn't have to be back to 0 or 10 to be considered isolating. It's just, you got to hold yourself accountable to, like, are we actually doing this thing?
And that's kind of where your skill set lies, is finding that sweet spot of isolating and the correct challenge point. Like that, I mean, I've seen you do that, something you're really good at. Not to pump the tires a little too heavy today, but anyway, something you're really good at. I appreciate that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. So, anything else you want to throw out there about Isolate before we jump to commercial?
No, I think we covered Isolate pretty well. So let's take a little break and we'll come back.
Hey there, basketball fans. Coach Dave Love here with an exciting opportunity to revolutionize your shooting game. Introducing my exclusive shot development systems, Pure Release, Consistency and Balance, and Fluidity and Arc. Each system is designed to target key aspects of your shooting technique, transforming you into a more effective player on the court. Pure Release focuses on perfecting your shot release. Consistency and Balance enhances your stability and accuracy, and Fluidity and Arc works on your ball path and trajectory of your shot. Find out the drills and progressions that I use with my NBA players to improve these important habits. Can't decide which one to choose? No worries, grab the bundle and get all three systems at a fantastic value. It's a complete package to elevate every part of your shooting game. And there's a special deal for all my podcast listeners. Use the promo code PODCAST20 at checkout to save 20% on any of the shot development systems. Don't miss this chance to train like the pros. Visit CoachDaveLove.com/store and take your first step towards shooting success. That's CoachDaveLove.com/store.
Welcome back. I know that was disorienting having Coach throw out a commercial, but here we are. Coach Dave, so we have...
My inaugural throw to commercial. Like my first... Yeah, I felt like a superstar right there. I'm like, look at me. I'm virtually Matt Robertson.
What a poor place. What a poor thing to aspire to. So you have identify, isolate, and the third step is layer. And this is probably another full podcast of your sort of layering techniques. But let's talk about it in the general sort of broad sense for the audience.
Yeah, this is like with isolating, we stripped away all the necessary things from the game in order to make the environment easy enough for the player to change their movement pattern. And now in layering, we should be adding those things in that or back in that we stripped away. So I've got my seven layers that we'll talk about in some other podcast. And I was thrilled when I did a coaching clinic and there was a guy that, you know, local guy who's kind of a coaching guru. And I described my seven layers and he came to me at the end, the kind of guy that I've always kind of looked up to. And he says, I really liked the seven layer. Like I hadn't thought about it that way. And these are things I've been talking about for 10 years now. And don't always share super openly what they are. But I thought, oh, that's nice that this guy that's been coaching for 40 years didn't think of this that way. But we're just, when we're layering drills, we're now trying to complicate and make the drill more task representative and more challenging as the player gets better at the habit that they're working on.
The seven layers that I worked on this weekend were a dip at the Super Bowl party I was at, but more working on the habit of my dad bod than anything else as a new dad. So really, really good. So when you're looking at a drill, you actually, let's do a quick word of caution. You said something to me in our pre-show meeting about drills, and I really liked it. Can you say that again for the audience, the sort of cautionary tale of...
You made me remember what I said. Can you guide me a little bit more?
The danger of doing the drill is that you get to be, yeah.
Yeah. Doing a drill just gets you better at the drill. So we have to make sure that we're using drills to build habits that apply into games. And so in a game, ultimately since there's no two refs that are the same, every shot is basically a different drill. And we shouldn't be doing the same drill over and over and over again. We should be kind of using a drill to teach a point and then changing the drill and learning how to get the habit right in that new different situation, and then changing the drill again and learning to get the habit right in that situation, and making those situations more and more game-like as we get better at the habit that we're learning.
Yeah, I love that. It just, again, variable practice. I haven't read the papers, but it's something that I sort of aspire to do in the off season, is to spend some time on the data in variable random practice, because it just, it makes so much sense to my brain that we're training these players in ways that they're going to run into in a game, in a way that forces them to be able to problem solve on their own. I do really appreciate that. So when you're talking about being task representative and applying new movement patterns, let's look at somebody who really struggles getting the ball out of their hand properly. When you're building a drill and you're layering, like, give me a midway challenge point that I can use for one of those players, like something that makes it just a little more challenging.
Instead of doing stationary form shooting, like I keep talking about, do form shooting involving movement. And so I've got a player that I'm working with remotely that is right on the bubble for the Australian women's national team. Like, she's sort of a really good player in the Australian professional league, but just, can I make they're not the Boomers. The Boomers are the men's team. I forget what the team is called, but like trying to make the Olympic team, and just right on the cusp. And the first thing that we did is we spent like 5 shots isolating the habit that we're working on. And immediately, like after 5 reps, I said, okay, now back up and just hop forward into ABC. Instead of just doing stationary ABC, give me one step of movement before you do ABC. And now next rep, hop to the side, do ABC. And so just adding movement to it. And then the next one would be adding a catch to it, that I'm going to now toss you the ball. We can do that stationary, we can take away the movement if we need to, or it can be adding a catch and adding movement to it. So I'll just toss you the ball. You got to jump, catch, feet in the air when the ball's in the air, feet on the ground when the ball hits your hands, all those things. And then on the catch, after the movement, attach that new movement pattern with the form shooting drill. And so just those are just a little hint at the ways in which I add layers to start to bridge the gap between an isolated habit and starting to apply it to a game context.
It's so simple when you put it like that. I'm like, of course, that's exactly what you should do. You know what I mean? Like, it seems so simple. Just as a very brief tangent, can you talk a little bit about the experience of working remotely with a player like that? Like, can you pull back the curtain? Are you getting video from them? Are you live with them? Like, what does that look like? Just for my own curiosity.
I always try and start it with like a FaceTime or a Zoom. And the best thing, like in this particular situation, she has her skills coach that is a part of the conversation. So we met on Zoom. They had sent me video. I showed them the video and showed them what I felt like we needed to work on, and then talked about, you know, how we would be isolating the drill and how we would be playing with variability to layer the drills. And then we got in the gym where the coach was holding the phone on FaceTime, and they each had an earbud in. So I could talk to her. She could answer me and he could listen in. So I could say to him, okay, can you now go stand at the free throw line extended and then give her feedback. And we're all sort of in on the conversation, and then tell her like, okay, come back and look at the phone so that you can see, I want to show you a position that I'm in, that I want you to replicate. And it's a little bit slower in the beginning. But after half an hour, you can sort of lay a foundation to say, all right, here's the little things I want you to change about the way that you're practicing. Here's the 3 form shooting drills I want you to do and what I want you to be paying attention to in the drills. And then here's the one or two ways I want you to start by layering. And it's given that our alternative is nothing, then this is a pretty good alternative. Is it perfect? Is it as good as being in person? No, but it's 80% of that. So technology has helped quite a bit.
Do you find, again, one more brief question on this, because it is interesting to me. Do you find that people are more accepting of this as a methodology post-COVID, where we've become sort of accustomed to this like FaceTime Zoom world?
Absolutely. And even myself, I would have said, like, I don't know if this could work. And now I've done it enough where I say, well, it's not ideal. I'd rather you be here in person so that I can physically put your body in a certain position and say, you know, what does that feel like, or make small little adjustments. But it is far better than nothing. And so I've even become more fan of the idea myself.
Very cool. Appreciate that. Just before we finish layer, let's go to one more quick break. And we'll finish in the layering section of this of the podcast.
Hey, basketball fans, Coach Dave Love here with an exclusive offer just for you, my personalized video shot analysis. Imagine having an NBA shooting coach analyze your shooting form, just like I do for the pros. That's exactly what you'll get with my video shot analysis. Here's how it works. You send me a video of your shot, and I'll break it down frame by frame. I'll pinpoint your strengths and identify the areas of improvement and give you tailored advice to take your shot to the next level. You'll receive a comprehensive analysis designed just for you. Whether you're a beginner or an aspiring pro, my feedback will help you shoot with confidence and precision. It isn't just feedback, it's a game changer. With my video shot analysis, you're not just practicing, you're evolving, and every single shot counts. Ready to transform your game? Visit CoachDaveLove.com/store to learn more and get started. That's CoachDaveLove.com/store and look for video shot analysis.
All right, welcome back. So thank you for that little detour. I just think it's a cool thing. And anytime you say something that really kind of triggers my interest, I just can't help myself. So appreciate you indulging me. So you're talking about changing drills to force this new correct situation. Like, dive into that just a little bit for me.
Yeah. So the first thing is trying to add a constraint that forces a player to explore a new movement pattern or a new way of moving, a new possible solution. And then as they start to do that, then I try and flip the drill where the goal goes from forcing exploration to making it difficult to explore. Because ultimately that's what occurs in a game, is you've got a defender creating a whole bunch of problems. My role as a coach is to get you to explore a new movement pattern, but then later on teach you how to solve problems with that movement pattern. And I can't teach you how to solve problems until I start to create them for you. So a simple example would be, I used to do a drill, and I can't wait to see this all over Instagram in the next month or two. I used to do a drill, and I don't really do it as much anymore, where we'd start with isolation drill. And I would hold, if the player's in this position here, I would put my hand on the outside of their elbow so that their elbow couldn't drift out and change their finger angle. So I would have my hand there to force exploring the elbow moving straight up in the air. And so the constraint, my hand being there, would force the correct movement. But then as soon as they started to get good at that, I would put my hand on the inside and I'd start to push out to say, like, all right, now I'm going to create a problem. Don't let me. You've got to now learn to fight against me as the quote unquote defender in this situation, trying to make your shot more complicated. You've got to learn to keep your shot simple in a now harder environment.
It's brilliant. It's easy. Again, when you say it, it sounds so simple. And of course, like, I should have thought of that. You know what I mean? Like, I do love the creativity there, but still keeping it simple enough that, like, I can go into the gym and practice that right now with one of my guys, you know, if that's a suitable level of problem for that player's skill set.
Yeah. And ultimately, that's what we're about. Like, unfortunately, what I see on social media is just people trying to create the perfect shot, which is a nice idea. But it's not really about that. It's about trying to create a perfect enough shot that you can solve problems with it. And if we never create problems for players, they're going to get into a game and not know how to solve the things that do come up.
It makes me think about when you talk about Brady Heslip, who maybe is the greatest living Canadian shooter, and his shot is not textbook perfect, but thumb flick away, Brady Heslip, at 40% from three everywhere you've been forever. Like, just like, you know, thumb flick away.
Yeah. He's unbelievable. And when we track some of the shot metrics on him, which again, we'll go into to later, I thought this will be really interesting because obviously this guy is really, really good. Like, he shot the 100 shots that we needed to get for the study that we're doing. And they were all NBA 3-point shots. Out of 100, he made 95. And then just sort of reacted like, yep, that's what I do. Like, it wasn't, oh my God, did you see me? I just made 95. It was just like, yeah, we do that again, I'll probably make 94, 95, or 96. Might make 99. I don't know what's going to, like, I'm that good. That was sort of his reaction. And so with that complicated thumb flick, I was really curious to see, like, was he going to be able to synchronize that more complicated movement to create a very efficient release? Or was he just really hyper consistent at something that was complicated that most people can't be consistent with? And it turns out it's the latter. It was slightly inefficient, not horribly, but he was just outrageously consistent with it. And most people can't be.
That's disgusting. I think about Clay Thompson. I think we talked about with Bryce. Clay Thompson is the, like, platonic ideal when you're looking at a shooter of what I picture as a perfect jump shot. Like, Ray Allen, maybe my favorite shooter in history. Much different. Like, he had looked like a two-handed release. You know, it comes in all shapes and sizes. And if your player has a complicated release and is able to hit his shots, you know, fire away.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care how you do it. If it goes in, you found a way that works. But if you can't, I'm a shooting coach, and it's my job to now help you figure out how you can simplify so that you can make more shots.
So creating your own drill, identify the habit or the problem that you want to work on, isolate that problem or habit into a new correct measure, and then layer it so that the challenge point hits where you're supposed to hit.
Yeah, exactly. That's ultimately, I liked how you phrased that last part, that you're, by layering, you're just adjusting the challenge point. You're making, as the player gets better at the habit, you're making it more task representative, more game representative. You're increasing the level of difficulty as they explore this new movement.
Very cool. Coaches, Create a way, make it interesting for your players, and also find a way to make them better. Coach Dave, a delight as always. If people want to reach out to you with questions about layering their own drills or being creative in setting up drills, where can they find you?
The best place on social media would be Instagram or Twitter at Coach Dave Love. And then probably the other great way, maybe even my preference, would be join my newsletter on coachdavelove.com. Just sign up in the box. I'll even send you a little free gift of teaching you something immediately so that you can grow as a coach, like, right away. And so I'll send that to you if you sign up for the newsletter.
Big shout out to the tens of dozens of listeners that have stuck with us this far. Tell your friends for all the free info. Small price to pay, but appreciate you guys. Please subscribe. Please engage. Coach Dave, an absolute pleasure as always. Looking forward to the next one.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Chat soon.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Coach Dave Love Podcast. To stay up to date with our future episodes, please remember to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to sign up for Coach Love's free shooting newsletter on CoachDaveLove.com and be sure to follow him on social media. You can find him at Coach Dave Love.